Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Dr. Nina Show with Dr. Nina Savelle Rockland, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey there, welcome to The Dr. Nina Show here on LA Talk Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Nina Savelle Rockland, and I'm here to help you make peace with food and lose weight without dieting. That means no more counting calories or carbs, no more thinking about food all the time. It really is possible to lose weight and gain health all without ever going on another diet. So today I have a special guest, Giovanna. She is a holistic psychotherapist, an intuitive energy healer, and a change agent. She believes that balance, flow, and harmony of mind, body, and spirit is essential to living a fulfilling, healthy, joyful life. She integrates a master's degree in counseling psychology from NYU, very impressive, with profound energy and intuitive healing modalities, and she assists people to become their healthiest and happiest versions of themselves by finding the cause of their misalignments and working forward from there. Giovanna has been featured over the years on various global telesummits, wellness expos. She's been on local TV and radio and was a featured talkback host after a live off-Broadway play about a young woman with anorexia, in addition to doing private sessions and group workshops all over the country. Well, welcome, Giovanna.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here.
Well, I'm glad you are very busy. I am glad you made time to be here on the Dr. Nina Show. So let me just start by asking you, what actually is a holistic psychotherapist and an intuitive energy healer? Because I think we hear these words and maybe some people have some concept of what that is, but I'd like to hear from you what that means.
Okay. Basically, it's the premise that everything is energy. Everything that's physical stems of energy. So physical matter is a denser form of energy. A holistic psychotherapist is somebody who integrates mind, body, and spirit and creates the wholeness and flow and integration of each of those bodies. And when we say mind, I'm also talking about emotional, mental, and the psyche of a person as well. So it's just creating the flow of all that. The intuitive part is something that came to me over the years, just knowing that I would be around people and understand what was going on with them. In high school, I became friends with a young woman who did have anorexia. And nothing was helping her, and we became friends, and I just intuitively knew how to help her, and she became healed. She was better. We were able to work together. We were able to have these conversations that helped her understand what was going on and find solutions.
Well, it sounds like that's it's very much in line with what I do too, because you're talking about relating to her as a person instead of relating to her as a person with anorexia and talking about her symptoms and her behaviors. It sounds like what was healing it was in part your relationship.
Yes.
And picking up on and just tuning into her.
Right. Yeah, we didn't talk about the diagnosis. No, it was her, exactly.
Yeah, you know, talking about that diagnosis generally does not help.
No.
It's not like what you're doing, it's why. It's like, you know, it's not what you're eating that's the problem, it's what's eating at you.
Absolutely.
So you mentioned healing, and I've also heard you talk about holing. Holing versus healing. Tell us what you mean by that.
Well, by the time that we're 5 years old, basically, during conception, I'll start there. During conception, our DNA is encoded with a genetic blueprint that carries all of our personal characteristics, our behaviors, our patterns, our ancestral lineage, something that's called Akashic Records, which I can explain later. And so by the age of five, pretty much what we came to heal in this lifetime is triggered in some way, in some aspect. So these are called fragments of ourselves because we have to find a way to integrate all parts of ourselves into a whole complete being. So when I say fragments, because they're at different vibrational frequencies. So when we have, say, if you want to use the diagnoses terms of anorexia, bulimia, overeating, whatever it may be, these are different fragments of our personalities that are calling for attention, they're calling for love, they're calling for healing in order for us to become more whole as a complete person. So in a nutshell, that's what that is.
And even though it's a very different language, it's exactly in line with sort of psychoanalytic thought,
yes,
which is that if there is, that the symptom is relating something. I mean, even back in the day, the father of psychoanalysis, Sigmund Freud, talked about the mysterious leap from mind to body. And now we talk about, well, what is the body telling us? What is being conveyed about your unconscious, about your conflicts, needs, wants, your internal world by whatever is going on with your behavior?
Absolutely. And that was what was so great about our conversation when we met, because we come from two different aspects but are saying the same thing, essentially. And that's wonderful, where people can meet and the semantics gets people to the same place, which is the holding and the healing.
Yeah, exactly. So you didn't tell me the story, but you said you had a really interesting story about a client who had colon cancer. Can you share that story?
Okay, this is a good example of what I was talking about before. I was on a telesummit, and she heard my show and decided to sign up for my 3-week program, I believe. So she had been diagnosed with colon cancer and was starting chemotherapy. And on our first session, I always tell my clients, I advise them to let their doctor know everything that is going on in our sessions. If I suggest certain supplements or certain things that they should do, or foods to eat or not to eat, or whatever it is that may interfere with the care of their physician. And basically what came up for her was family patterns that she was carrying in her cellular memory, mm-hmm, in her DNA, in her encoding. So in a nutshell, it was something that she chose to experience in order to whole herself. And we were able to go back into that, and she was very responsive and very aware and very ready to do the work. And by the second time that we spoke, I am able to see a person's energy field and scan it, similar to what an X-ray would do, and I can see where energy is blocked in their system.
Oh, she's looking at me now. I'm going to have a now. I'm a little nervous.
No, I'm not doing that. And so I could see, before she told me even what was going on, where the energy was blocked, where exactly the tumor. Actually, where two were. And so with that, by the second session, I didn't see them anymore. I said, please ask your doctor for a PET scan, because I really don't think you need to continue with chemotherapy. She had gone for one. I believe she had gone for one. Maybe not. Maybe she was about to start the first. This was years ago. So she did. And the PET scan was completely clear, and the doctor didn't understand what was going on. And I checked in with her since to make sure that she was still clear, and she was.
Yeah, I mean, it brings up a patient that I had who was told that she needed, now I'm not talking about energy, I'm talking about psyche, but I had a patient who was told she needed back surgery. She was so debilitated. She had to take like 6 weeks off from work. She couldn't walk. She was in a horrible place. But I really thought that her back was expressing her mental pain. There was something that she was burdened by that was sort of on her back, even if we think about our language.
Right.
And after 3 months of therapy, her back started getting better, and then it was fine, and she never ever had surgery. Now so maybe I wouldn't talk about it in the terms of energy, but you would explain it as energy. I would talk about it as a mind-body connection.
Exactly.
So yeah.
And it's essentially pretty much our psyche is our energy and our thoughts. And so everything that manifests physically starts with our emotions. That's why emotional health is so important. And over the years, I mean, it's more talked about now, but it was only mental illness that was looked at and not emotional wellness. And it's very important. In fact, I just read something that finally physicists are coming out with the research that our DNA, which is live, is affected and can change by our emotions and how we're thinking. Psychoneuroimmunology.
Yes, and our thoughts, which release brain chemicals, can also change. I mean, there you can't talk about the mind without also talking about the body. You can't talk about the body without talking about the mind.
Exactly.
So if anybody would like to join this very interesting conversation with Giovanna, and the number here at the studio is 818-602-4929, 818-602-4929. We'd love to hear from you. So there's an expression that's very common, which is something along the lines of, well, when we know better, we do better. And you don't agree with that. I don't agree with it either. But when we know better, we do better. I think Oprah said that or something.
And, yes, you know. I didn't want to say that, but yes.
Yeah. Sorry, Oprah. Like, you know, you really need to do some deeper work. That's just what I'm saying. I think I could really help you. So could Giovanna.
Well, right. See, there's a great example of this amazing, wonderful woman who has been dealing with the weight issues for her whole life.
And I don't know anything about her actual experience of therapy, but I've had many people say to me, and I want to get to the comment on what she said, but I've had many people say to me, oh my God, it's hopeless. Oprah has all the money in the world, and she's done everything. If Oprah can't beat this, how could I possibly beat this? And I say, I don't know exactly what Oprah has done, but if I look at the experts that she brings in to help her out, they are all about treating the symptom and not the cause. She's not talking about her trauma in childhood or how that was internalized or how that is, you know, how that is continuing to affect her. She's not talking about how her past is alive in her present. She's talking about how to lose X many pounds in the present without realizing that the roots go into the past.
You got it.
So
you got it. Exactly. And I would, you know, I would think, because she has access to all these amazing new thought leaders and thinkers, that this would have come up. So, you know, of course we can't speculate on why that's not happening, but you know, for people in the public eye, I have a lot of compassion for them, because it's very difficult to hold that space and hold that energy. And she's a big energy in the world. Sometimes people will carry more weight when they have a lot of energy space that they're holding. She's holding space for so much of humanity to bring new thought and to, you know, assist so many people in living better lives. I mean, that's what she talks about a lot.
Yeah, some people think that if they lose weight, they lose power, too.
Really?
Yes.
I have not really heard of that. Mm-hmm. Wow, okay.
But it's similar to what you're saying, that she's, you know, she's holding all of this power and energy, essentially, and so she's got to be big to hold it. But conversely, many people have said to me, when we get to their fears of losing weight, fears of being diminished, fears of being smaller means feeling small, feeling like a kid, feeling less powerful, more powerless.
Okay, in that perspective, yes, I can see how that could be. That is, you know, also it's the fear of facing truth about ourselves. That is, truth is such an important part of living an authentic life and having harmony in our lives. Because if we're constantly telling lies to ourselves and others, then we always have something to hide and always have something to hold or always have something to remember. And it causes a lot of density in the body. It causes a lot of restriction. And there's no freedom to really be and express and just be light.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of, and it ages people. It ages and it diminishes health to hold on to all of those lies. So truth is a very important part of that. And I think that sometimes when people are in the public eye and they're not being who they really are, and I'm not saying Oprah, I'm just saying it just reminded me, a segue into that. If they're not being who they truly are, that's why so many go into addiction issues or whatever it may be, because they're not living an authentic life.
Well, don't you think that there's some kind of zeitgeist in our culture that is not only anti-intellectualism, but anti-emotionalism, anti-self-reflection, that we are increasingly becoming a reactive society rather than a reflective society, and there's not a lot of thought about getting back to the when we know better, we do better. My problem with that, and I want to hear yours, is that first of all, just because you know something doesn't mean you're going to change what you do. It's like everyone knows to lose weight, you got to eat less and exercise more, essentially. Just because you know it doesn't mean you're going to do it. But also that there are motivating forces that keep us from getting what we want because of some unconscious, so thoughts that we're not aware of, hidden thoughts that keep us stuck.
Yes, right. And that gets into cellular programming as well, because when we know something that we is better to be doing, I don't like to use the word should, but is better to be doing or not doing, we can keep doing it and then be angry and shameful and mad at ourselves, and then that exacerbates the problem instead of just realizing, okay, well, it takes time to get to shed the layers of programming that we've acquired throughout our lifetime and experience. And it does take time, and I think that's what is important for people to understand. It takes time. You know, it's not going to, just because you get it and you know it, it's not that it will be that way the next day. It does take time.
Yeah. Sorry, Oprah, we're just not happy with some of your stuff today. Your aha moment has really made a lot of people feel bad, because people were like, I got it. So why isn't it changing? You know, and you bring up a good point. What you call programming, I would call identification, unconscious identification. Mm-hmm. And so, again, I'm so struck by the similarities in the way that you think, and I think we just use different language.
Yes.
But if you're doing something you don't want to do, or you're not doing something you want to do, there is always a reason.
Yes, always.
And it's discovering that reason. And when you do change, like the way you're talking about changing the structures of people's way of organizing themselves to themselves and the world. And that's a lot different. That takes time.
And that leads into biophysical restructuring, you know, and changing thoughts and behaviors and programming and the way that we think, and the different synapses in the brain will refire, neural pathways will open up with this new way of thinking. But it does take some time. But I will say this, going into an energy aspect, where we are collectively on the planet right now is supporting people's growth. And when I say growth, it means the evolution of consciousness. So we are being supported more than ever in all of this change. So for those listening, you know, whoever really is ready for change in their life, this is the most propitious time to do it.
So what I interpret you saying is that because of perhaps some of the political situation in our country, I know there are listeners all over the world, but so, you know, President Trump is a very divisive figure, but it also, because of the divisiveness, has brought together, there's been this groundswell of people coming together for the force of good, or like after the gun violence, that you see this, which is horrendous, but you see this incredible gathering of energy forces, kids all over the country and those who support them. Yes. So you're saying that's sort of that even though the trigger was a negative thing, that the result is that there's a coming together of our society to change our society.
Absolutely. I don't look at, I mean, it is awful, obviously, what's happening in the world all over. But as we discussed when we met, it is so important the what Trump is bringing up, like what you just mentioned, because he is igniting the human spirit to wake up and to take a stand and to feel empowered, that we can create change from the bottom up. You know, it doesn't have to be the trickle-down theory from the top down.
Right.
So to empower people that they have a voice.
Although he doesn't realize he's doing that, but
no,
we'll
no.
It's despite him. But we'll get away from him for now and go back to sort of the people's relationship to themselves and others. So you've talked about how facing fears releases body density.
Yes. And I experienced that myself. I never had a weight issue, but I would always have 5 pounds here and there that at different times. And I remember a couple of my mentors, body workers, telling me that at a certain point in my life, that was just going to release on its own. And I thought, that's very interesting. Well, why? And it was because I was ready at that point to let go of what was protecting me, or what I felt was protecting me. I carried the weight over my hip area, which is near the kidneys. Hmm. And our kidneys are very much aligned with our fears. And so once I was complete in working with a lot of my base fears, there was no longer a need to protect that part of my body. So the weight, it was basically water weight, just did disappear.
Interesting. Now, as you were talking, I'm reminded of a woman that I met. She was not a patient. I met her at a party, and she told me that she had breast cancer, and that when she was getting treatment for breast cancer, and it was in her left breast, sort of in the towards over her heart, the nurse came up to her and said, "Look, maybe I'm a little bit out of line here. I don't know what your situation is," but the nurse said that she found that when people had breast cancer in that breast particularly, and in that part of the breast, it meant there were some heart issues, some relational issues, some problems in life. And the woman said that she burst into tears because this stranger had basically told her the truth she could not face up until then, which is she had a terrible marriage. And she ended up facing it, dealing with it, was cancer-free. I mean, she did go through cancer treatment, but cancer-free, and then really lived her life. And it was so interesting that she talked to the nurse, and the nurse said, yeah, every time, every single time. And the nurse couldn't explain it. I'm sure you could explain it.
That is so important. Gosh, I'm so glad that you brought that up, because the popular outbreak of ovarian and breast cancer is about what is called the divine feminine energy, an aspect of women that has been put down, that has been just kind of held down, where we weren't able to be in our full power and our full right and full expression, which is changing now. But also the idea that women had to give up parts of themselves in order to create the family and take care of children, take care of the husband, take care of the home, and not take care of themselves, put themselves last. And that is a reason why so much ovarian and breast cancer had happened. But it is changing now, because the shift of consciousness is changing, and the divine feminine, I'll say it that way, is rising again. And also within the, it's not that men don't have that aspect, they do as well. And again, that goes back to finding the balance. We both have, you know, we
yin
all
and
have
yang.
Both.
Yes. Yin and yang.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know what, I want to go back to what that struck me when you were saying that people who had extra weight were afraid to lose it because they felt like they would be diminished. And I find that so interesting, because it does show how our thoughts create reality, right? And a lot of the people that I had met want to lose it because they feel like they would be more empowered if they were thinner. What they felt is, you know, the social standard of beauty.
Right.
And acceptance. Of course, I used to be in the fashion and beauty industry in New York before I started this career. So I saw so much pain in women with this aspect. And, you know, and that's what kind of got me started to start my Be Your beauty program in early 2000s because it was so prevalent.
Yeah, I mean, I find that there are some basic reasons why people are afraid to lose weight. I mean, they consciously want to lose weight and they unconsciously are terrified of losing weight.
Absolutely.
One of those reasons is being objectified. You know, people say, well, you know, some guy or some woman, depending on what your, you know, proclivity is only going to want me for my body.
Right.
So they kind of objectify themselves and imagine that other people will objectify them too if they're at a certain weight.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. And now that I'm thinking about it from that perspective, I have met people like that have thought that. And I know someone who's very close to me who, same thing. She carries this weight through her whole life because she's so afraid of not being able to, yes, of holding her own, being able to defend herself against predators because right. There was abuse in childhood.
And when there's abuse in childhood, we become very hypervigilant on some level and make sure that abuse is not going to happen again. And one strategy to make sure of it is to not become an object of attention in that way.
Right.
Or it's an unconscious fantasy because abuse is not really actually about sexuality, but...
Right.
Yeah, I mean, so that's one reason, or another reason actually is fear of happiness, because people think if I'm too happy. Do you find that when people are like, oh, I'm too happy, I'm waiting for that shoe to drop?
Yes. Isn't that I know, so people that just worry, I know, it's such a waste of energy. And that's one thing where, for me, I know better, but I still don't do better. I still worry, even though I know I shouldn't. Getting better at it, but it's a process. Mm-hmm. Yes, and I think that gets into self-worth, deservedness. Do I really deserve to be happy? And these are subconscious and unconscious thoughts and programming. So, mm-hmm. you know, that's what makes it difficult, is people consciously aren't aware of those things. So, you know, it's so important to reach out. There are so many ways to get assistance in these things now. So many people doing wonderful things.
Including you.
Including me.
Yes. Yeah, well, it can be about worth. It can also be about giving people the illusion of safety. Like, okay, if I step into paradise, I'm going to be cast out of paradise because things can't go too well for me because, you know, something bad happened to me in the past, which meant that, you know, I can't have good things. And so my strategy is never to step into paradise because I'm always going to be upset over my weight. So if I don't get there, I can't be kicked out.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. These are all the blockages that stop people from living their most fulfilling life. And that is it right there in a nutshell. And what does that mean? And okay, what will I do if everything is perfect? Or, you know, what does perfect mean? It doesn't, we can live a happy, fulfilling life. It doesn't mean there won't be challenges, but we'll be, you know, at such an empowered stage that it's easy to navigate and handle the challenges of life.
Right. And good is not a setup for bad.
Right.
Right. Good. We just live in a random universe at times. Maybe, right. I don't know if you agree with that or not, but we live in a somewhat random universe. Bad things happen and good things happen, and one is not related to the other. But because we try to make patterns in our minds, we tend to perceive patterns.
Right. Random, well, right. I understand where you're coming from in saying that, but I do believe everything happens for a reason. It's just, what is that reason is not always consciously seen or known, and there does take some kind of looking into to understand why. Just like today, when coming here, the keys to the car just disappeared when I was getting ready to go. So what does that mean? Do I not show up? Do I cancel? What does it mean? And I said, no, I'm going to, you know, call Uber and go.
And who knows? Maybe your Uber driver benefited greatly from your conversation. So that was meant to be for him.
That's what I mean. Like, everything does have a reason for happening, even if it's, you know, even with the atrocities that we were talking about before on the planet, people can say, well, you know, how can there be a reason for all of that? And that gets into victim consciousness. And I'm not saying I agree with the way things are on our planet, but I understand the why of it. And I think understanding, for me anyway, The why of it is important, because it then you have some kind of grasp, and it takes away the victim consciousness, because that's a tough thing to hold on to.
How does this philosophy, sensibility, you know, understanding, however you want to put it, I'm not quite sure the right way to put it, but how does your focus on energy, how does that play out in relationships?
Well, do you mean romantic relationships?
No, I'm actually thinking of, we have a caller, Larry from Burbank. Larry, if you're listening, you can call in. He often calls, and he has a relationship with his mom in which he's been trying to get his mom to understand him to no avail, or seemingly to no avail. So I just wondered, so when you have two people who are stuck, who can't, she can't, or he feels that she can't see him and understand him, or maybe won't, or it's threatening to her on some level, what do you do in a situation like that from a perspective of holistic psychology?
What that usually means is that there is an aspect of himself where he doesn't see himself. He doesn't honor himself. He doesn't understand himself and give himself that love and compassion. Everything always points to self. It's, you know, things out there are a mirror. It's not exactly a black and white mirror, meaning there is some analysis that needs to be done in the understanding. But it also is about empowerment and getting to a point where you believe in yourself so much that it doesn't matter what the other person says or thinks or does, and you can have unconditional love and accept that and find some kind of compromise. But it's about getting to that place within. And I've had to go through that myself in family relationships. And then somehow, magically, it shifts. It shifts.
Yeah. It's a good point that what we often, I'm not saying this is you, Larry, if you're listening, but
right, yeah.
But often what we look to get from others or to get from the world is the very thing we need to give to ourselves.
Absolutely.
And as long as we're waiting to get it from without, we're going to be hungry, starving for attention, for love, for whatever, when we give it to ourselves. Actually, that's when usually the world gives it to you too.
Yes, absolutely. That's the way it works. Absolutely, you got it.
Yay, I got it. We're energetically connected. And here is a caller. I wonder who it could be.
Is it Larry?
Hi, caller.
Yeah, hi, this is Larry from Burbank. How are you?
Hello, Larry from Burbank.
Hi, Larry.
Either I'm hearing voices through my fillings from the mothership, which is the norm for me, or I heard my name on the air.
Yes.
I like the observation about essentially projecting. Maybe to use that in my turn, but indeed, you know, if I feel like someone doesn't understand me and I have confidence in believing in myself, it doesn't matter if I'm understood or not, ultimately. You know, it's just a hard kind of fact to face.
Right. It is. And that's one of those things that takes time, years sometimes, in my experience. Mm-hmm. But knowing it and understanding it and making the intention to get there is a huge step and breakthrough in of itself. So that's something to be, you know, really proud of and keep going with.
I think maybe half the battle is, to a large extent, giving up that expectation and just letting it go and knowing that I need to, that, as you say, it's a reflection of my own feeling or lack of confidence in where I want to head in terms of, for this discussion, food and food obsession and food enabling and all that.
And remember, Larry, that food in our psyches, food represents nurturing and mothering on a really deep level. So if you feel that you cannot get what you need from your actual mother, you may want to get it symbolically through eating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's filling a hole in my soul. And a lot of that could be my inability to receive for whatever reason. Yes. Not just, it's not, you know, a sender-only
right
thing.
That's very astute, Larry. Yes, being able to receive, that's a big one for people as well. And a word that you brought up before, expectations, because we all place such high expectations on ourselves and get so upset when things don't go the way that we want it to. And then that in itself is a whole lesson in being to be able to navigate life and not have it always go the way that we expect.
Larry, right, as you were talking, I thought of this woman who had a very similar relationship with her mother that you have with your mother, as you describe it, always wishing to get her mother's affection, recognition, you know, just couldn't get it. It was always mother was always critical. Well, she went up to visit her mom. And her mother gives her a hug at when she's leaving, and her mother goes, "Oh, my best girl." Mm-hmm. Now, she just got everything she would have wanted her whole life from her mother. Mom's like, "Oh, my best girl." Do you think she could take it in? Do you think she went, "Oh, that feels so good. Oh, my goodness, that is nice." No. She thought, "Well, now you're telling me that."
Well, you know, I know that in my case, it's not, it's mostly an inability or even, I'll say, even a deep-seated refusal to accept that now. And I'm wondering if that's just kind of a reflection on just an inability to accept any of that decision I made very, very young, and it's so powerful. I mentioned, I think, last week that is my kryptonite, you know.
Can I interject? When you just said it, when you said about being very young, because what I was thinking was the inner child work, and that is talked about a lot, but it is very important. It is so important to deal with the inner child aspect of us, because that's really where many of our adult issues stem from, things, and not always just being the child and what happened, but that inner child part of us that wants the love and the nurturing and the nourishing and the attention and the way that we want it, and on our timeline.
Right.
And you might have, you might have, unbeknownst to you, set up something of a dynamic, a role responsiveness with your mom, so that one of you is the rejecter and one of you is the yearner.
Yes.
So that you're yearning for her love, she gives it in the form that she gives it, and you reject her. Then the cycle repeats.
Yes. Right.
Okay.
So that you're either the yearner or the rejecter, and you switch. You either perceive her as, and then she's the rejecter. So that you keep flip flopping roles. That's what we do, and that comes from some early idea. As you know, as Giovanna was saying, everything comes from your childhood experiences and the meaning that you make of it. So there might be some part of you that says, "Hey, I don't deserve to get the very thing I crave."
And then when you
I mentioned to my mom, who's listening downstairs again.
Hi, Mom.
I said while you were talking earlier that sometimes never having is less painful than having and losing again, or just never having it is less painful than losing something.
What is it? 'Tis better to have loved and lost than never to have loved at all?
Right.
That part of me doesn't believe that.
It is in the pain that our heart starts to open more. Unfortunately, that's one of those things. I wish it was some other way, but I know, you know, in my own life, there's been a lot of heartbreak and pain, but it also expanded my heart to be so wide open, but you have to have the good foundation of trust and faith. Mm-hmm.
Yes, there's a children's book called Going on a Bear Hunt, and someone told me about it, and it's the perfect book because it's you can't go around it, you can't go under it, you can't go over it, you can only go through to get to where you want to go.
Right. keep going.
Right. And I've heard that saying, the way out is the way in. And that's just my challenge in terms of processing at a deep level everything I know. As I've said so many times, it's not insight, it's the processing, which I find so challenging and which I fight daily.
And perhaps it is more comfortable to be in a state of resentful longing than to be in a vulnerable place of having and connecting.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And that I've heard before, that those tendrils have gone out to apply every aspect of my life. And that's difficult. So,
right, and the rejection in some way feels empowering to have the power to be able to say, well, I reject that. Too late.
Yeah, that's interesting. Every time I've walked away from a friendship very spontaneously, or I walked out of a job, it's terrifying, but I feel, strangely powerful. In a bad way, but just like I have power in some respect.
Right.
So your goal, Giovanna, you tell me what you think, but I think your goal will be to choose the terror of love over the certainty of power.
Well put.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. All right. You mind if I shift gears?
Sure.
For a second.
Yep. Nope. What's on your mind?
I've heard so much about Dr. Phil, and I know this is maybe far beyond the scope of what you were discussing, but I've heard a lot of great things because he's so popular, and a lot of criticism. And I don't know if you, Dr. Nina, do you want to tackle that or not?
Okay.
Or
if this were a live televised radio show, you would be seeing me and Giovanna both making faces. Look, here's the thing about Dr. Phil, Dr. Laura, all these people, is that they're not doing therapy. They say they're doing therapy, but they're not doing therapy. I remember many years ago, and Giovanna, I want to hear from you too, but just briefly. Many years ago, I was listening to Dr. Laura, and this woman called up, and she was saying that she had a daughter, and she wanted to have another child because she was so afraid she would lose this daughter, and she wanted to have like a backup child. And I thought, wow, why is she so afraid of losing the child? Why does she feel like she's got to have a backup? What's going on? Dr. Laura said, that's ridiculous. You should be grateful for the child you have. You're basically just shamed her. And I thought, oh my God. Like, I think I was a student at that time, and I remember thinking, if people think this is therapy, I'm never going to have a practice because no one is going to want to see me if that's what's going on. Years later, I had a patient who came in and with a very similar fear that her daughter was going to, something was going to happen to her child, especially as she got towards like 3 years old. Turned out that she, my patient, was the replacement child. Her sister had died, a sister she never knew, had died when she was three, and her parents had her as a replacement. So of course she was worried about this, losing the daughter, because she was afraid what happened to her sister would happen to the daughter. There's always a reason why people feel this way. Dr. Phil and these other people are not exploring the root. They're just plucking weeds. Giovanna, take it away. I know you have a lot to say too.
I don't think we have time for everything I'd like to say on that subject, but what I will say is making it a general statement is you can't do therapy on television. It's sensationalism. That's all that it is. And how can we get more ratings by talking about these terrible things that people are going through and using that as a way to get people to watch and listen? And I don't agree with that.
Yeah, and shaming them.
And shaming, yes.
But to me, shallow stuff is good for ratings, and going deep is, a friend of mine who's in marketing calls it too Mensa. And people will tune out if it gets too complex, but they want to do the Jerry Springer thing. And that's very attractive to a lot of people.
I disagree. There are always those people who are going to be like, oh, I have to think? No, thank you.
Right.
But I have to tell you, I get so many emails from people all over the world who are like, wow, I never thought of things that way. This is really helping me, not just the show, but my book, which is not easy, not light, and not commercial. Maybe it's a little Mensa, but I guess there are a lot of smart people out there, 'cause they want to hear this. And I think that, you know, advertising, marketing people out there, producers, take note. People are smarter than you think.
Yes. Oh, that's so important. Very important to say, because that's true, and more so than ever before. And it is continuing. People are awakening more and more every day. They do want change on the planet, with the microcosm and the macrocosm, within and without.
It seems that if I have stuff I don't want to look at, I'll focus on the spectacular problems of others, you know, and that just takes me away from my own insight at an unconscious level. This person from this trailer park married her brother, you know, after this commercial. That's real interesting, but it just takes me away from my own introspection.
Form of distraction. It's just another form of it.
Yeah.
And sometimes those kind of things help people feel better about themselves or what they're going through, if other people are going through, you know, seemingly worse things. So there's that to look at as well. And that goes into the empowerment and feeling good about ourselves and where we are.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Choose love. Love over power. And whatever it is that you went through, you survived it. You will survive processing it.
Mm-hmm.
And self-love is power.
I believe you.
Oh, self-love is power. That bears repeating.
Yes.
Yes. Thank you, Giovanna. That bears repeating. And thank you, Larry from Burbank, for many various thought-provoking questions.
Okay. Thank you very much. As always, both of you, this time, past the bullseye, and I appreciate that.
Thanks for calling, Larry.
Thanks, Larry.
Okay, take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. So interesting. I want to get to, I know we don't have much time left, but I would like to hear from you about the idea of soul path or soul plan. Tell us about that. I mean, we may not have enough time to talk about that either, but maybe the high points.
Okay, yes. So basically, we all have a soul plan and a soul path, and we get nudges in various forms to keep us on that plan. It's what we have chosen, I believe and know, to experience during the incarnation of our lives. So the more that we stay on path, the better that life continues to unfold and evolve, and things become easier. So that's always my focus with my clients, is to keep them on their soul path and empower them to continue on it, even, you know, if it seems like it's the harder choice. You know, I always say in life, sometimes we don't always take the road less traveled, but never traveled. And it's more so prevalent than ever before with the way things are changing so much now and will continue to.
Yeah, and don't you find that sometimes when you listen intuitively to and follow what you feel is right, that it's a lot easier than when you're... It's like this is what I say about relationships. Like, if it's meant to be, you really can't mess it up. Because if you're right for each other, you're going to work through things, talk through things, it's going to work out. But if you are not right for each other, there is nothing you can do to make it right.
Absolutely. You're right.
Life too.
Yes. And what you spoke to is think with your heart and follow that, the intuition, the heart, not always what's practical or what the mind might say.
Yes, the mind can lead us astray.
It can. Yes.
Because whose mind is it anyway? You know, we think it's our mind talking, but sometimes there's a sign in my office and it says, sometimes when I open my mouth, my mother comes out.
Exactly. Right. The programming.
So, programming. So, or the identification. So different words for the same thing.
Yes.
Yes. So, So Giovanna, tell us, if people are interested in learning more or if they're interested in hearing more about your programs, how can they reach you?
Okay, the best way at this time is to email me. And I believe you're putting the email on the link, the show link, but mm-hmm. It's, I'll say it's Evolve, EVOLVE, at evolveatlovegiovanna.com. And Giovanna is spelled G-I-O-V-A-N-A. So evolveatlovegiovanna.com. I am I'm doing a completely new website and branding, and I have projects that are upcoming, so that will be on the website. So there should be no website up right now, even though there is at this point, but that will be taken down. So right now the email is the best way. And this show is actually the... And I am embarking on a new path, and so this is my reemergence out. So thank you so much for this opportunity. It's been lovely and amazing, and what's the word, like this push forward.
Well, I am so happy to be here with you for this push forward, and it was wonderful having you. And also, if you can always email me through my website, winthedietwar.com, and I will forward any emails to Giovanna too. So I'll make sure that if you want to reach her, you will reach her.
Yes.
And thank you again for being here and sharing your knowledge and your expertise and your thought-provoking ideas on energy.
Thank you for inviting me.
Maybe you'll come back.
I hope so.
Okay. And that's our show for today. Thank you for joining me here on the Dr. Nina Show here on LA Talk Radio. I am here every Wednesday live at 10:30. Pacific Time, or you can listen later on iTunes or on the LA Talk Radio archives. If you like the show, please leave us a review or at least a rating, because the more ratings we get, the more people we reach, the more people we reach, the more people we help. So thanks, and I'll see you next week.
You're listening to the Dr. Nina Show with Dr. Nina Savelle-Rocklin, only on LA Talk Radio.